You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
With the release of the Northern Bass lineup last week, there was no real shock. Well, it was both shocking and not shocking to see a severe lack of representation of women and diversity in the acts announced. It's no secret that women and minorities are very underrepresented in the music industry in New Zealand and around the world, particularly in electronic music. I spoke with pop music commentator and columnist Miriama Aoki about the music scene in New Zealand, and we tried to sort of unpack how to go about bringing some much needed representation and accessibility to the industry. So the Northern Bass lineup was released this past week. There's been an image doing the rounds on Twitter. Someone's removed all of the male acts, and there's only three females on it.
There's actually four. Oh,
there's four?
Yeah. Silver MC was actually left off that, but she should be put back in there.
Well, why was she left off?
I don't know. Well, yeah, it just happened that way, I guess. But yeah, she's... So there's four that's been announced, but...
So, I mean, what is going on here? Why are there so few women, do you think?
Well, I think it's pretty common across every industry, and electronic music is in no way immune to that sort of system. But traditionally, the cultural gatekeeping within electronic music in New Zealand and everywhere else has always been male-dominated. And it's not so much that women aren't there, but they don't have enough of a presence. And a lot of minority communities don't have enough of a presence within those scenes, and they tend to cater to or promote and endorse a large sort of majority of men rather than women and minorities.
I mean, why do you think promoters don't book as many women? I mean, there's women DJs out there who are good.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the kind of excuse that everyone sort of comes back to, and promoters have told me this in the past, it's either we book based on talent, or we book according to the market. So the assumption is either that no one's listening to women, or no one's listening, you know, female DJs, no one's engaging with any of those communities, no one's listening to women of colour or trans women, or, you know, no one's actually listening to. So that's the assumption. The assumption also is that women in these communities won't make any money, which isn't true in the slightest sense at all. All of these sorts of genre have been born out of those communities. So, yeah, I think it's a cop-out, absolutely.
I mean, so... There's no secret that women DJs have been suppressed. I mean, since, you know, the 90s, it's always been, in terms of the DJ superstars, there's no woman really that you can think of off the top of your head, but there's probably about five men. It's the same in production and music.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think that there's any sign of change?
I think there is, and it would be a disservice to those people who are actually, you know, engaging with those communities and trying to bring about change. Especially, you know, sort of, I don't want to sort of say this, but sort of within the art scene, there are, you know, emerging factions of, yes, this is what we're fully dedicated to. You know, we have Fully Explicit with Creamy, that she's doing club night, she's doing radio, she's, you know, in a relationship. You know, she's associated with radio. You've got women that are moving up within, you know, past those volunteer roles in radio and moving up into management positions. And you've also got, like, queer scenes that are absolutely flourishing. But in saying that, there are larger markets overseas, so we need to sort of be looking at what we can do here to be able to help grow those communities so that more people are participating.
I mean, do you think the issue is bigger in New Zealand than it is internationally?
No, but I don't think it's fair to compare it to anything overseas, because again, it's you know, there's larger populations, so there's, you know, a lot more to work with. But when you're bringing it back home, you need to sort of think about your, not necessarily the market, but what your punters are wanting from a gig, you know. And for example, if you're hosting a night and it's not accessible, then that's immediately cutting someone out of, you know, having an experience within that realm. And we need to sort of shift the thinking about what we think club night should be, or you know, what DJing is, and really try and sort of dismantle those paradigms that, you know, sort of enable some and not others. Yeah.
So I've seen that there's like some all-woman music festivals that have been sort of popping up around Europe. So there was that one in Sweden, and there was one you mentioned before.
I think I'm thinking of the one in Sweden.
Oh, right, the one.
Yeah. But yeah, basically it emerged that this festival, and it's common within festivals, and it's common within going to a gig, you know, it's common for women working behind a bar or working at the, you know, the ticket vendors or whatever. Like, so many women will tell you that they've experienced some form of sexual assault at gigs. And this woman, in response to that, I mean, there was a spate of attacks at this festival, decided, you know, we're going to have an all non-male festival, which, you know, as we've seen with the Wonder Woman screening, you know, women-only screenings, it doesn't sit well with men. But the whole issue is that, you know, you've kind of had your fingers in a hold over these avenues for so long. You know, what's 3 days? What's you know, a two-hour movie to just create a space where people can feel safe?
Do you think there's the potential for something like that to pop up in New Zealand?
Yeah, but I'm not sure how well it would be received by some, but I definitely think it's important.
I mean, do you think New Zealand's music scene is particularly misogynistic?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, both in terms of production and, you know, fans, people who attend the venues. Do you think that it's worse here than overseas?
Well, I can't say from experience, but it seems to be a consistent theme everywhere you go. But from my experience, it tends to be, and especially because New Zealand is such a small country, you know, the people that are in positions of power, that are in promotion, that are in radio, that are in, you know, music journalism, that are in promoting festivals, they'll hold those positions for years. You know, Rhythm and Vines, or, and I'm not sort of lumping them in, but, you know, the people that run these festivals will continue to run these festivals for a long time. And unless there is some sort of real pushback for change, then they're going to keep, you know, having these sorts of lineups where it's dominated by men.
I mean, what do you think it would take to implement that sort of change?
I think if there are enough people demanding it, then it would start to see changes. Whether we, you know, have enough of a unified voice is probably a discussion for another day. But yeah, I think there's definitely potential, and I think, rather than sort of just accepting that, you know, this is what New Zealand music is, the more people that sort of push against that and push back against those sort of edges, I think the more change will start to roll.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.